We have several visitors in our midst, and we are delighted that you're here and want you to come back and be with us whenever you can. Among our visitors are some extended family of men that we're going to see added to our list of deacons and elders, and we're delighted that you can be here to witness that very thing. And for just a few moments, believe it or not, this is going to be a short sermon. Just for a few moments, I'd like for us to direct our thoughts to some scriptures, some words of Jesus that talk about leadership as he would have it to be. I invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. The context of Jesus' words here are another occasion when there was a disagreement among his disciples as to which of them was the greatest. In fact, the context is that James and John, and they have their mother involved in this, are asking for special places of honor in Jesus' kingdom when he tells them, "That's not my place to give." But then he tells them some things about the real standard of leadership that he looks for, and how that stands in opposition to some things that the world looks for. The real standard of leadership also being the real standard of greatness. Notice what he says in verse 42 as far as the Gentiles' standard of leadership. Jesus called them, his disciples, to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." Among the Gentiles, in the world, Jesus is saying the standard of leadership is power. And yes, there's authority in all types of leadership, but the emphasis in the world is on power. And that is, the test would be, how many people does a man control? How great an army of servants has he at his beck and call? How many people can he impose his will upon? But Jesus is quick to say that that's not his primary standard of leadership. He goes on to say in verse 43, "Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all." In opposition to what the world defines as true leadership, that being having power, Jesus says the true standard of leadership is service. Is service. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. The test is not what service can I extract, but what service can I give. Let's take a moment to apply these principles to church, to the church, to its leadership, but also to all of us as members of the body of Christ, and realize that each of us has been called to serve. Not all in the same capacity, but each of us, in whatever talent God has given us, each of us has been called to serve. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Another way of saying it, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. That's all of us. Each of us has been called to serve. Peter goes on to say, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him serve with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever." Each of us has been called to serve. And when it comes to church leadership, I believe we should recognize church leadership as another level of service. Men who serve as our elders and deacons aren't required to serve in these capacities. They have agreed to do so. And by so doing, they accept tremendous responsibility. As elders oversee the flock, they shepherd the flock, and They seek to be in tune with the needs of the members and strive to help the church body, especially in their spiritual lives, primarily so. It's a responsibility as deacon to lead in service in various ministries. It's a tremendous responsibility, but yet it's also service. Our shepherds serve the Lord by accepting this responsibility in caring for the flock. Our deacons are committing themselves to serving God by serving in this capacity in the local church. These men deserve our respect, our cooperation. They need our prayers and our support as they lead us in serving God. But Jesus himself exhibited this standard of leadership that he is calling for. In Mark 10, verse 45, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." One of the most powerful demonstrations of that heart of a servant that Jesus not only taught but lived is in John chapter 13, where we read that in the beginning of the Last Supper, before Jesus went into an extended discourse on some things that he wanted his disciples to keep in mind before he went to the cross and before he ascended back up into heaven. When no one else took it upon themselves, the scriptures tell us that he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and began to wash the disciples' feet. Can you imagine the reaction of the disciples as their master, their Lord, their teacher is washing their feet? We can understand Simon Peter's hesitance in allowing the Lord to do so. But when Jesus finishes this, he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example, but you should do even as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." If I, your Lord and teacher, have done this, you ought to do it as well. He's giving us an example of service, of being willing to serve others in need. And Jesus' example, his teaching, is followed by his example. His example of service that would take him ultimately to the cross, where his desire to be obedient to the will of the Heavenly Father, and having in mind that our greatest need, went to the cross, and as he said, gave his life as a ransom for many. It cost his life to bring men back to God. It cost his life to ransom us, to redeem us from our sin. And with his heart of a servant, he was willing to do just that, so that you and I can be saved from our sins. How will you respond to Jesus' teaching, but also by his example, having that heart of a servant, being fully obedient to the Lord? Our hope and prayer is that your response will be that if you have not already, that you will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will obey the scriptures that teach us that we must believe that Jesus is a Son of God if we would be saved from our sins. We must turn from our sin in repentance and confess Jesus before men and be baptized into Christ so that our sins can be washed away. We hope and pray that if that's your desire this morning, that you'll do just that. And those of us who have answered that call, that will continue to follow in the steps of Jesus as he gave his life in service to God and for us, that we'll commit our lives to serving God for the rest of our lives, that one day we may hear the greatest thing, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Do you need to come to Christ this morning? If so, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?